I'm going to go to Micah. And I hope these tie together. I don't know if they're going to. But I just, Micah 5. And then I'm going to go to, where was the other one? Oh, goodness. 1 Samuel 14, maybe? Hope I can find it. Gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. And I felt like that this morning. Like, that's what we, I felt like when Shelley came forward, you know, she's just been, the sickness has just been in the house for like 2 weeks and it just needs to go. And she just, you know, when you're just like, enough is enough. And you're like, you know, it's just like, you just got to go after something. And so thank you guys for supporting her and praying for her. I want to go down here where, was it 5? Well, let's skip over here. Let's go to 1 Samuel. I believe it was 14. Here we go. One day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." And I'm in the Amplified this morning. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. And with him were about 600 men. The son of someone's brother, Ahitub, and the son of, I think God did this to make us humble, to keep us humble when we're up here reading. The son of Eli, the Lord's priest at Shiloh, was wearing the ephod, and the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. So between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over to get to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other side. One was named Bozez and the other Senna. The one crag was on the north in front of Michesh, and the other was on the south in front of Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is nothing to prevent the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do everything that is in your heart. Here I am with you in whatever you think best." Jonathan said, "See now, we are going to cross over to the Philistine men and reveal ourselves to them." That doesn't sound like a good plan, Jonathan. Right? Like, it's he's saying, "I'm going to go up here. We're just going to go." I feel like Jonathan's just kind of winging it here. I feel like he's just like, "We're just going to go and see what happens." Now, I mean, can I just tell you, as an armor bearer, you must really trust the person you're armor bearing for. For him to just say, "We're just going to go up here and do this." And I'm one that tends to like wing it at times, but I don't feel like against 600 people or however many are here that I'd really want to wing that. But here's what he does. Jonathan said, "See now, we are going to cross over and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place and not go up to them." So, all right, so he's got a strategy here. He's got a strategy a little bit. "But if they say," so he's gonna, "they say, 'Come up to us,' we will go up." I mean, think about that. Like, he's saying, "What we're gonna base what we do on what the enemy says to us." Like, I've never thought about that before. So he says, so okay, "If they say, 'Come up to us,' we will go up. For the Lord has handed them over to us, and this shall be the sign to us." When both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, now look, the enemy had no idea what Jonathan had in that moment spoken to his armor bearer, right? So unknowingly, they spoke what Jonathan Amen? Like what God, or what Jonathan had laid before the Lord in that moment, right? So it says here, when both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. Ho, ho. Come on. So the men of the garrison responded to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we will tell you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. For the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet. Talk about a position of vulnerability, or like if I'm going into battle, I don't think I want to climb on my hands and feet. I don't know. Maybe that was the only way he could get up there. For the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. And can I tell you, if Jonathan did not firmly believe that, he would not have been able to climb. He had to believe that what he said, that in that moment, that if they said this, then that meant that God had given them to me and God was going to conquer them for us. Come up and we'll tell you. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. Then Jonathan climbed up in his hands and feet, and his armor bearer following after him. The enemy fell before Jonathan in combat, and his armor bearer killed some of them after him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half a furrow in a plot of land, the area of which a yoke of oxen could plow in a day. And there was trembling in the Philistine camp in the field and among all the people. Even the garrison and the raiding party trembled in fear. And the earth quaked and it became a trembling in terror from God. I feel, and I felt like this morning, like even when we were coming behind Shelley, it was like, He's given our enemies over to us. He's given our enemies over to us. And you know, one of the things that really bothered me when COVID first happened is how fear ran rampant and unchecked. And it angered me because it wreaked havoc on God's people. And we came under it, and I'm talking about myself, and we came under it, and we and now it's like we're coming up out of it. We are. I declare that over God's people, that we are coming up and out of all of the residue and all of the stuff that was left behind from it. So I'm gonna skip down because I want to get to where I really felt like. Interesting, what I really felt like God wanted to share this morning. So if you read down further, there's a battle, and Jonathan, and you know, there's a battle, and so the Lord saved Israel that day. I'm in verse 23, and the battle spread beyond Beth-Haven. So here's where I want to focus, because I hope God helps me communicate this, because I felt like there was some good stuff in it. But the men of Israel were hard-pressed that day because, see, Saul had put the people under a curse, saying, cursed be the man who eats food before evening and before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. So none of the people ate any food. All of the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people entered the forest, the honey was dripping. But no man put his hand to his mouth to taste it, because the people feared the oath of Saul. But now Jonathan had not heard when his father put the people under the oath. So he put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into a honeycomb, and then he put his hand to his mouth, and his energy was restored. He didn't hear. So he did. Here we go. And then he put his hand to his mouth and his energy was restored. But one of the people told him, your father strictly put the people under an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food today. And the people were exhausted and hungry. Then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land with his foolish curse. See how my energy is restored because I tasted a little of this honey? How much better it would have been if only the people had eaten freely today from the spoil of their enemies which they found. And I really felt like this morning, and like what I just feel like it's so easy to come under the curse of the things that are being spoken lately. And they are curses because they're the exact opposite of what God says. And I feel like it's important in this season that we eat the honey and that we don't not eat the honey. And if it's dripping, if it's in the field and it's dripping and you see it, eat it. Eat it. Eat the honey because the energy was restored and it was and the people were in anguish because they had come under the curse. And I just really feel like in this season it's important that we not buy in to everything that we're right. Like, and I'm just talking about God's kingdom. That's what it's about. It's about, Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not about restoring some great country. It's about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? It's about restoring his people. It's about restoring relationship with his people. It's about restoring his people to him. It's about kingdom living on earth, ruling and reigning and living to the fullest of what he's called us to live. And if he's given us honey to eat, let's eat it. Amen? Let's eat it. Let that fill you. Let that just revitalize you and lift you up. And that's what I felt like this morning was honey. Like, man, honey. And you know, I I'm created to run. I'm created not physically, but like to go. And if I'm not like going after things, like it, I love this morning because I love being stirred up. And I love being, just let's go. What's in your heart, God? What's in your heart, God? What's in your heart? I want to be your armor bearer. What's in your heart, God? Should we go up here today? What should we go after? What are you going to lay before us? What are you going to lay before us? Where's the honey at this morning? Where's the honey at this morning? Where is it? Because I want to eat of it. Because I want to have everything that I need so that every day I can live life to its fullest. And I can agree with you in what you're doing and what you're saying and what you want brought and manifested from the kingdom of heaven into the earth. So I want to encourage you guys this morning. Maybe turn things off. Maybe you have to turn things off for a little bit, stop reading things, I don't know, and get in the honey. Get in the honey of his word, not the cell phone. I have the Bible app open. But his word. His word is above every word. His word is above every word. Doesn't matter what, his word is above every word. And I know there are things that have to happen, you know, I know the book of Revelation, but like, I still believe that we can, there's still going to be honey. There's still going to be hope. There's still going to be a reason to hope and to believe and to seek after. Amen? Hope, and not just a desperate hope, like desperation of holding on, but like a hope that thrives and that lives and that encourages people and that shows people that everything else may be chaotic, everything else may be like just in a ray or whatever, blown up. But here I have this hope. I have this hope that my God is who he says he is. And he will do what he said he will do. He is a faithful father. He is a good father. And he gives good gifts to his children. Amen? He gives good gifts to his children. And I believe when he said the latter rain shall be greater than the former, that's actually true. So when it rains and that latter rain comes, and I believe, and you know, when COVID first happened, I was like, I believe, and I don't have scripture for this, and you can talk to me about it if you want, but I believe I'm just asking God, this is what I should say. I was praying and asking and believing that there would be an end time revival that would carry us until Jesus comes. An end time revival that would carry us until Jesus comes. And now the beautiful thing about that is we have no idea when he's coming. So come on, an end time revival that carries us, meaning we don't stop it, we don't hinder it, we don't take control of it, because we've had outpourings of revival in our nation. But I believe it, and I don't know, I may be naive, I don't know, and I don't care. But I still believe that there is an outpouring coming like we have never seen before. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to just jump on the boat after it's sailed. I want to build the boat. Seriously, I want to be a part of it from the beginning. So, and I'm looking for a people that want to run with me. That will push me when I want to just stand still. Shove me, maybe. Gather, and you know, and I've been thinking about this, and the Bible says to not neglect the gathering together as some of you are in the habit of doing. Man, I thought we were so isolated for a while and withdrawn, and I just declare that we're coming out of that. That we're coming out of that, and there's not a fear of gathering anymore. And I'm not just talking about in the church building. I feel like it's greater than that. I feel like we need to be intentional about gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ, even outside of here, to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to get in each other's business. We don't get in each other's business anymore. We don't. Like, I remember walking around Bible college, and I would ask people, not because I was whatever, but I would be like, how are you and Jesus doing today? And the joke around the campus was, oh, Nikki's everybody's accountability partner. And I was like, we don't even talk about accountability partners anymore. I don't. But like, man, we living together. Do you know what I mean? They sold, like in the book of Acts, they sold everything and they gave and they took care of each other, and the church took care of each other. The church as a whole, not each separate denomination, the church as a whole. And I just really feel like we're going to have to be intentional, because it's easy to get busy and it's easy to just kind of do our own thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that Bible does say do not neglect the gathering together. So if the Bible says it, there's got to be something there, amen, that we have to take in, and each of us have to take it in, and we have to chew on it, and we have to digest it, and then we have to live it out how we take it in and digest it, and whatever it is that God is saying. I desire for us individually, you and I, the corporate body of believers in Freeport, to be a place where God dwells. Oh, man, that we would be a city of refuge, that we would be a city of freedom, that we would be a city where the Spirit of God makes its home, and he comes and he sees that he's wanted and he's invited, and there's something that attracts him, that he would want to dwell. He does want to dwell, actually. That's, I mean, you guys, his dwelling, if he didn't want to dwell, he wouldn't have created the Garden of Eden in the beginning. If he did not want to dwell with his people in unhindered, unbroken relationship, he wouldn't have given us the example from the beginning before sin entered. Amen? That's his heart, that he would walk with us in the dew of the morning, that he would converse with us unhindered, that we would not lack anything. So I hope that this morning encourages you and that you would find the honey. That you would find the honey wherever he has it placed for you. Oh, man, maybe even the most unthought of places, even. Right? Even the most unthought of places. Well, God, I just thank you for this morning. And I thank you for everyone that you brought here this morning. And it's not by chance or circumstance, but you had something in your heart, come on, that you wanted spoken out this morning. That you wanted it to be spoken forth into the atmosphere so that it could set forth that which you want it to accomplish. And I just say that word of the Lord that went from us this morning, that is one out into the atmosphere, and it will not return void, but it will go and it will accomplish that which you have said it should accomplish. And I just speak blessing over your people. I thank you that your face shines upon them. I thank you that you've given your angels charge over them. And I thank you, God, that you love them ferociously. And you chase them down with your love. We just thank you. Man, God, your children are amazing. Your children are wonderful. And God, when we come together, I thank you this morning for the unity in spirit. What a beautiful thing. I thank you for who you are. And that you will continue to reveal yourself to us. That we will see you rightly so that we can see ourselves rightly so that we can see each other rightly. And all of the lenses that we've seen you through, ourselves through, and each other through, that you would just begin to just move those out of the way. Or whatever you got to do so that we can see you rightly, ourselves rightly, and each other rightly. Because we've been fed a lot of stuff. And we don't see each other clearly. But I thank you that we do. I thank you that we may not, but we do. And we will. And we will seek after you so that we can see you rightly, see ourselves rightly, and then see each other rightly so that we can see your manifested glory on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.